They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
So everything's fixed now, right?
This Marketplace podcast is supported by the Epson Workforce Pro, engineered for productivity to deliver high-speed automatic two-sided color printing, copying, scanning, and faxing. The Epson Workforce Pro. Learn more at Epson.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. France and Spain are offering some hope this morning that yesterday's coordinated action by central banks to ease credit is working. Both countries saw their borrowing costs fall in big bond sales. And of course, I don't have to tell you that stocks skyrocketed on the central bank news. The Dow had its best day in almost 3 years. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore, who is with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Heidi, everything better now, or is it possible that something might still be wrong with the global economy?
It's possible that everything might still be wrong with the global economy. If you think about what we have to fix as the big European sovereign problem, and it's this big falling apart building, all we've done in the past week is just put some spackle in one room. So we won't know what's going to happen to the European Union until January. And if the Eurozone breaks up before then or even after then, I mean, that's still a possibility we're thinking about. And that's a very worrying one.
And was this then about buying some time for the Europeans, who always seem to be doing a little too late when it comes to solving the debt crisis?
It's very much about that. I talked to Guy Lebas at Janney Montgomery Scott, and I like the way that he described the problem.
There's been a slow motion credit crunch in place for several months now. You need look no further than the performance of European bank stocks to know that's true.
So we've seen this going on for a long time, and we will see it going on for a long time. And we also need to see more action. Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, admitted today that despite everything the ECB has done, that they've seen very few results. And that's very sobering.
Sobering, although people's stock portfolios probably look pretty good this morning. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
Well, at the core of the coordinated central bank action yesterday, as Heidi said, was one thing: debt. The reason credit markets were starting to freeze up is because lenders were worried they wouldn't get their money back from countries, from banks, from small businesses, and from consumers, all of whom are carrying a lot of debt. Here to put it all in perspective for us is Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, often when economists talk about debt, they talk about it in relation to a country's economic output or GDP. Explain why they do that and how different countries are measuring up right now.
Well, it gives you a measure about, you know, how much wealth you have, how much economic activity you have relative to your debt, and how much can you carry. And there's a big debate about, you know, what is the upper limit. But when you look at the U.S. relative to the other developed nations, we're nowhere near our upper limit, and we're relatively healthy compared to most other developed nations, say in Europe and Japan.
Well, of course, you're talking about government debt, Chris. What about households within the United States and their debt, and what about companies in the U.S. and their debt?
Yeah, I find it fascinating just to break down the numbers. So if you're looking at the household debt, it's 88% of gross domestic product. Corporate? 73% of gross domestic product. And we talk about the government all the time, but it's 65%.
So it's actually lower than the others.
It's lower than the others. Now, the trend, and the trend is important, Jeremy, as you know, household debt is down. Same thing with corporates, down around 9%. And what's been happening is that the federal debt has been growing sharply.
Now, when the federal debt grows sharply and the others go down, are those happening because of each other? When a household reduces its debt, does that debt get shifted to the federal government sometimes?
You know, that's partially what's happening. I mean, look, the households are saving more. Corporations are saving more. What's the offsetting pressure? The offsetting pressure is government spending. So what you want to see is federal debt increasing. State and local government debt, by the way, is flat, while the other ones are declining. Otherwise, this economy goes into a downward spiral.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning. Asia followed yesterday's U.S. rally, with stocks jumping more than 5% in Hong Kong. European stocks are mixed at this hour. Here in this country, an update to a story we brought you yesterday. The National Labor Relations Board did vote in favor of speeding up the process of unionizing businesses. A final vote is expected before the end of the year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow shot up 490 points, about 4.2%, to close at 12,045.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided inkjet printer. Engineered for productivity, it delivers high-speed automatic two-sided color printing, copying, scanning, and faxing to keep your business running at full speed. With extra high-capacity ink cartridges, the Workforce Pro helps you save on ink. It prints from mobile devices like smartphones and tablets fast and easy. Check it out at Epson.com.
In Illinois, state lawmakers have rejected a bill that would have offered millions of dollars in tax breaks to keep the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from leaving the state. So, what happens now? Here's Susie Ahn from WBEZ in Chicago.
The CME Group has been at the center of Chicago's financial sector for more than 160 years. Gaston Cerrone is an equity analyst with Morningstar.
Chicago has taken on a much more visible role because of the tremendous growth that we've seen in derivatives trading, for which Chicago has been a hub.
Now, CME is threatening to leave Chicago because of a recent hike in the Illinois corporate tax rate. But a move wouldn't be cheap. Stacey Kruger-Berndorf is with commercial real estate firm Transwestern. She says just relocating its computers and electronics could cost millions. CME employs as many as 2,000, but many other jobs in Chicago rely on it.
There are these other companies that are affiliated with them, and what about them?
And then there's what to do about the big Chicago Board of Trade building that it owns.
I'm seeing it right outside my window right now, and I can see the goddess of Ceres there, and she's not going to be moved. That whole building is going to have to stay there.
The CME Group wouldn't comment on what it'll do next. In Chicago, I'm Susie Ahn for Marketplace.
And finally, remember the band Hanson? Here, let me refresh your memory. Well, according to Rolling Stone magazine, the guys that brought us Mbop are getting into the beer business. They're launching an IPA sometime next year. It'll be called, get this, Mbop. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.